Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the address this morning is the Gospel reading, Matthew 21 to 16. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, we pray that you would teach and instill in us what the kingdom of heaven is like. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This story is often known as the workers in the vineyard, laborers in the vineyard. Or perhaps another title could be the generous landowner. But I think for many of us, if we're honest, there's another title we may give to this story. And that's the it's not fair story. It's true for most of us as we hear it that this story unsettles and upsets us even at some deep level. I'll suggest to you today that that's exactly what it's supposed to do. Because Jesus has a title for this story. You can see it if you look at the verse that comes right before the story and the verse which concludes it. His title is that it's about the first becoming last and the last becoming first. So that it's a story about a great reversal that takes place in the kingdom of heaven, a great shift. And when we are by nature citizens of the kingdom of this world, it's an unsettling shift. Because it's a great reversal of values and expectations and mindsets. Everything is turned upside down from what we normally expect in the rule and reign of God. So let's look at how this theme unfolds through the story. First in the recruiting, verses 1 to 7, then in the rewarding, verses 8 to 10, and finally in the reaction, verses 11 to 16. The recruiting, the rewarding, and the reaction. First is the recruiting. So the story begins early in the morning. It's grape harvest time, and so a landowner needs workers to help get the grapes off the vines. Now, these days we go to recruitment agencies or backpacker hostels, but in those days you went to the marketplace. And so the landowner goes and he finds some workers, and they make an agreement for the usual daily wage, and off they go. So far, so good. But it's from then on we begin to notice some very strange details in this story. It's only 3 hours later, about 9 o'clock, and already the landowner is back at the marketplace looking for more workers. And he finds them. They're standing idle. He doesn't make an agreement for a wage with them. It's just a promise. I'll pay you what is right, and off they go. The same at 12 o'clock. The same at 3 o'clock. Now, what's going on here? At 9 o'clock, it's pretty early in the morning for this landowner to have realized he's short of workers already. Why is he going back every 3 hours? Like, he can't work out how many workers he needs when he does this year in, year out. And what's the deal with these workers? Did they sleep in the first time around? Were they passed by? Did they refuse, but now they realize there's no better offers? We're not told. But as the story goes on, I think it becomes quite clear as to what's happening here. It's at 5 o'clock, the 11th hour, that we really start to see there's something very different about this landowner. Because now it's 1 hour before knock-off time. And still he's going out to recruit more workers. Now, what sort of economic sense does this make? In the time it takes to get to the marketplace, to get them organised, to get back and get them started, is this really worth it? What is he up to? Notice where the focus is in the text. It's not on the vineyard and how many grapes he has to pick. The focus is on the workers and their idleness. In other words, on their need. That's why he keeps going. And there's one little detail in the text that really brought this home for me. It's in verse 5, and it's the word found. Earlier in the day, it says the landowner went and saw these workers, but at the 11th hour, it says he went and he found them. And the last time we heard that word in Matthew's gospel was with the shepherd who went out searching for that one lost sheep until he found him. That's what's going on here. This landowner is another picture of that same heavenly Father at work, out on the hunt, gathering people to himself. First as a shepherd searching for that lost sheep. Now as a landowner hiring idle workers. Later as the host of a great banquet at the highways and the byways. Here is the God who takes the initiative, who recruits labourers for his kingdom. And this is the first example of this great reversal in the kingdom of heaven. Where we like to think it's all about our initiative. Us reaching out to God. Us putting forward our own resume about how lucky God would be to have us. Whereas in the kingdom of heaven, it's about God's initiative. He comes and he recruits us from our idle lives. And one of the marvelous things about this story is that the landowner keeps coming again and again and again. So that if there are any of you out there today still standing idle in the marketplace of the world, or if that's the case for our family and friends, be assured the heavenly landowner is still out seeking. His books are not closed. He's still recruiting for his vineyard. It's happening through the preaching of the word, the ministry of the church, the daily witness and prayers of the people of God. The heavenly landowner is recruiting. And he even recruited a thief as he hung dying on a cross. There's one of the last who went into paradise first. So there's the recruitment. Next is the rewarding. And this is where the great reversal of values gets much more unsettling. Evening comes and the job is done. The Cabernet, the Merlot, the Shiraz, they're all picked off the vine. The work is done. Time to distribute the wages. And so the owner calls the manager and instructs him to begin with those hired last. And you think something strange is going on here. So along come the 11th hour workers. They open their pay packet and what do they find? A whole day's wage. Maybe for us the equivalent of three crisp $50 bills. $150 for 1 hour's work. And who knows what these guys are thinking? Maybe that there'd been a mistake and they should get out of there before someone realised. And so our first hour friends do the maths and they think, this is our lucky day. So that we are all set up for the deeply shocking and unsettling moment in the story. Each of them also received the usual daily wage. And that's when that little child in us protests. It's not fair. And that's exactly the point. When you feel like that, God's Spirit is beginning to work in you this great reversal that takes place in the kingdom of heaven. Because the operating principle of the kingdom of heaven is not fairness. It is something far better. It's goodness. It's generosity. It's grace. And that's how God deals with us. And God is perfectly ready to defend his own justice and fairness, as he goes on to say. He is fair. He is just. He does pay them exactly what they had agreed to. But the point is that if you think life in his kingdom is only about fairness, that service in his vineyard is only about tit for tat, getting your just desserts, it's all about working and earning something from God that you can then compare with other people. If you think you can bargain and negotiate with God, if you think you have any claim on God that he needs you, you're on the wrong track, because we need him. And so it's always by grace. It's always from generosity, from the first to the last. And the problem this story is illustrating is how easy it is for different people and groups in the kingdom to forget the very simple reality of grace. It can apply in so many different ways. So perhaps these early hour workers were God's people Israel, and the later workers are the Gentiles. Or perhaps the early hour workers are the religious leaders, and the later workers are the tax collectors and sinners. Or perhaps the early hour workers are the apostles, and the later workers are the others in the church. The story is actually told in that context to Peter as some spiritual pride seems to be creeping in. Or perhaps, like we said with the kids, those early hour workers are those raised in Christian homes from childhood, and the later workers are people coming to faith at an older age. This is applicable to anything that causes us to begin to think that somehow God owes me something because of my work, so that we forget about generosity and grace. And it's worth knowing too what comes right after this story. The very next thing that happens is that Jesus tells his disciples he's going to Jerusalem to die. And we may be supposed to ask the question, is that fair? The death of the sinless Son of God, is that fair for him? Or it's certainly God's way of showing his extravagant generosity to us. Here's the reversal in the kingdom of heaven. So there was the recruiting, and then the rewarding, and finally there's the reaction. We could even say the rebuke. This is how you know if you're operating according to the kingdom of this world or the kingdom of heaven. It's how you react when you see God's grace and generosity to others who seem somehow less deserving. The first part of the reaction is grumbling against the landowner. Grumbling. That tried and tested activity of people throughout the scriptures. From the people of Israel in the desert, to the nations against God in the Psalms, to the scribes and Pharisees against Jesus, to these first hour workers in the vineyard, grumbling against God. So they say, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the heat of the day and the scorching heat. What's interesting to me here is that I get the impression that all of a sudden these workers have had almost a complete transformation of their relationship to the landowner and even their experience of a good day's work. There's nothing in this story so far that suggests the owner has been anything but generous and gracious the whole way along. And yet, as soon as their eyes are off him and what he has for them, and are on others and making these comparisons, they lose all the joy of serving in the vineyard. And this is the heart and centre of the story. It's all been building to this point. I think the reason the 11th-hour workers are paid first is simply to set up this reaction. It's setting us up. How will you react when the Lord asks you, friend, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? This is a warning from our Lord. Because what he shows here is a very tragic way in which the first can become last, and the last first. And we know this same dynamic from everyday experience. I'll give you an example. When the little child has a special drink of lemonade in their cup, they are happy and content. Until their little brother or sister gets a cup. And the level of lemonade in that cup is fractionally higher, resulting in several millilitres more of lemonade. What happens next? You parents and grandparents know that's not fair. But here's the tragic part. Sometimes that child is so angry that their face and their eyes towards their mum and dad change. They cross their arms. They can no longer enjoy their lemonade, and maybe they push it away altogether and voluntarily miss out. That's very strange when you think about it, because there's exactly the same amount of lemonade in the cup as there was at the start. And here's the thing. When this landowner says, are you envious because I am generous, the literal translation would be, is your eye evil because I am good? He's talking about that look in the kid's eye as they push the cup away towards mum and dad. He's saying that's what we're in danger of doing with God when we see his grace towards others. Now, it's frustrating with little kids and lemonade, but it's spiritually deadly with us and God. It's the most tragic way this great reversal takes place, that the last can become first by receiving grace, but the first can become last by despising grace. Just like Jonah. So angry that God was merciful to those wicked Ninevites, those lasts, that at the end of the story, he's left sitting on a hillside, angry enough with God to die, he says. Just like the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son, where at the very end, he's outside with the father pleading with him to come in and enjoy the party. But he won't. He's envious of his father's lavish generosity to the younger brother. I can just imagine him with that same look in his eye. And I get the impression with this vineyard owner that he's just like the father of the prodigal son. That at the end of this story, this vineyard owner was ready to say, come on, guys. I'm ready to crack open some vintage reds from my own cellar. Come inside. Let's all enjoy a good day's work. But these first hour workers are left there wondering. Will they go in? Just like with Jonah. It's still the question that's often left hanging for us. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The great reversal in the kingdom of heaven. In the recruitment, God's initiative rather than ours. In the rewarding, God's grace rather than my labour. And in the reaction, the danger of despising God's generosity to others. May the Lord continue to unsettle us for good as we learn more deeply what the kingdom of heaven is like. In the name of Jesus, Amen.